Dr. Romero said, "We are the yeast that produces effects far beyond our capabilities." In the name of the Father, Amen.
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 Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Steve Hoey, and what I want to do first is introduce the facilities team that's going to make this presentation today. And I'm going to ask, as I read off each person's name, you kind of wave so that people can put a name and a face together. You just heard from Ruth Gates with the opening prayer. Ruth, would you want to just wave anyway so everybody remembers who you are?
In case you don't know me, but you better all know me.
Next is Angie Green.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning. Good morning.
Next is Teresa Singer.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Teresa.
Oh, hey, there you are.
And Mona Kleitz is also with us. Mona.
Hey. Your hat's upstairs.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Okay. The facility team has been meeting every 2 weeks since late July via Zoom. Mona didn't join us initially, but she's been an active part of the team shortly after that. We have also drawn on other parishioners as needed to supplement our work. Our intent is to bring our buildings into the 21st century where we can. All aspects of our structures will be reviewed and addressed. Our parishioners are predominantly an older population. As Ray said last week, our average age is 63. We need to make St. Paul's not just a warm and open place, but make it all accessible for all who come here. We're going to leave the issue of code compliance in our buildings to the professionals and let them identify the necessary modifications. We will fix what we are required to fix and fix other items where it makes sense. Some of the things that are on people's minds: the ability to travel between church and the parish house in a way that is less restrictive or cumbersome for people, finding a space for the nursery that eases the concerns of everyone, co-locating clergy rather than being spread out throughout the building, a remodeled parish hall, and addressing all structural issues cited in the Andrew Report of 2018 and any new issues discovered in the course of the architect's work. This team will recommend up to 3 architectural firms to the vestry. We are finalizing the request for proposal, and it is expected to go out shortly. Final costs to make these changes will be the basis for our future capital campaign. Input will be sought from stakeholders and others to help determine the future of what we want St. Paul's to be. With that, now I'm going to turn it over to Mona, who has a PowerPoint presentation. I think, Julie, you need to give her the comm.
I was typing some notes while you were speaking. Who is it I need to give? You said Mona?
Mona Kleitz. Okay.
I will do that. All right, Mona. You'll be able to share now.
All right, 1 second. Okay.
While Mona is getting set up, may I just request that everybody mute or the host mute everyone? Thank you, so that we don't hear ambient noises.
All right, 1 second. I'm trying to share and I can't find my PowerPoint here, which it's up on my screen, but for some reason it's not showing up as a choice. 1 second. Maybe I have too many things opened. Okay. Here we go. All right. Let me start to show. Can everybody see? Can everybody see a screen that says Facilities Committee update?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Ma'am.
All right, very good. Okay, so again, this is a presentation that has been prepared by the entire committee. We've been working on it, and it was a presentation that we made to the vestry last week. So we will share that information with you as well. The first thing to review is that in the strategic plan, which the last 2 weeks there's been discussion about that in this at this time frame, the goal related to facilities, the actual goal that was written by the committee who had prepared that goal for the strategic plan, says, due to life-threatening safety and ADA violations, implement a plan to fix them or relocate. As part of that strategic planning process, they also developed strategies to implement that goal. And you can read those strategies. You know, basically it is to review the deficiencies and assets of the facilities, look at cost estimates, then there would be a capital campaign, and then there would also could be a cost estimate for relocating in case rehabilitation is not an option. Underneath in the strategic plan, each one of these strategies also has some further steps, and a timeline was proposed at that time in the strategic plan. And I will say, we'll go through the presentation and we have a couple other comments. And then at the end of that, we'll have time for questions and discussion. So a reason that this facility goal was probably implemented is because of deferred maintenance, which is maintenance that hasn't been able to occur over time, which then causes issues in the facility, safety and accessibility. And then another reason is to improve the functionality of the space for the whole parish. And I'm going to show a couple pictures that back in 2018, November of 2018, the church hired, there's a report from Andrew Consulting, who had done a report of some of the maintenance issues that are pending, I guess. And so I'm just going to show you a couple pictures so that you can get a sample of what is going on. This was one picture where it says that, you know, stucco's cracking along the west elevation of the parish house. And so what this report did is it actually showed pictures, but it also had a list of a bunch of different things. And these are just some samples. So this is another picture of masonry load-bearing end wall has a large shear crack that requires repair. And then interior cement plaster cracking. So again, these are just some samples of what was in the report. And we are going to be looking to have professionals that can then put cost estimates to these repairs as well as others that might come up. How we're going to accomplish the goal, the original goal of the facility plan is to hire a professional firm. And what we want that firm to do is create a report, and that report will then be used to be given to the vestry, and then the vestry can determine what will be the direction that we will proceed with. Steve has said, and this is, I think, is a good statement, is this report is going to give ideas to bring our current spaces into the 21st century. So that kind of, we're hoping to get all of this information in the report. What we are going to ask that would be included in that report, we're doing an RFP process right now, or request for proposal, and we're defining what it is we would like to see in that report so that when we receive information from different firms, we're able to compare each one and decide which group is going to be the best one for us. But what will be included in the report, in addition to reviewing the previous consulting report and any other documents that we might have, we would like that firm to also look at the current facility in relation to all of the various codes. That is one reason to have the a professional firm do it, because they know all of the various electrical codes, plumbing codes, historical codes, everything, so that they can review that. We also would like to ask them to have cost estimates, approximate cost estimates, and prioritize those things that need repair. So that way the vestry is able to determine how much money things could cost, and as well as get a list in a priority order of what needs to be repaired. The other thing is to reimagine the space and what that could be and what the spaces could be and how much that would cost. So there will be a process yet to be determined about talking with the various stakeholders to look at the current spaces. How could we possibly reconfigure them? Maybe there'll be a demolition of space or a rebuild or an addition. Again, we don't know what that might be at this point in time. That's what a professional firm is going to be able to help develop. Additional items that we want to ask to have included in the report includes, we want to have them describe whatever it is they might write so that we could put that in a future design process. So this isn't going to be a final design of what might happen. It's going to be information that the vestry is going to be able to use to decide what to do next. But we need information to be able to describe what might be done, and we, especially for a capital campaign. We're also probably will have some kind of general drawing, some concept drawings that can be used for the capital campaign. And then in for a comparison purpose, a general cost estimate of what it would cost to build a new facility, if in case that might be a choice. And so ultimately, again, this report would give the vestry information based on professional expertise about what we could potentially do at the church. So a couple of things that won't happen. This is not a final design. So there would be another process that would occur that would be a separate design process for whatever might be determined. And then those final drawings would be then what you would hire a contractor. It's also not a final choice to decide to redo the current facility or to relocate. The report is going to provide information that will then be used to make those decisions. So by using a professional firm, they can tell us what the different possibilities are and then help to be able to help the vestry to make that decision. And it's also not going to be a process done without input. The vestry will decide how to work with the church members to gather input. And hopefully we're going to be able to have a professional firm who's actually worked with church redesigns before, and they know how to gather input and the input that would be needed. So we want to find somebody who's going to understand that is what we would like to have, is something that gets input from our parishioners. So the facilities committee that is currently the Steve mentioned all of us that are on the committee. We've been working on developing an RFP, which is a request for proposal, and we're going to send that to prospective firms. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. We're hoping to get that out this week, I hope, but anyhow, soon. Once we put that out there, we'll give the firms approximately a month or so to respond, and they will provide their proposals will show how they would go about doing the task of creating the report and everything that they would do in their process. We will review the proposals, and then we will conduct interviews, and we will check references. And our ultimate goal is to provide a recommendation to the vestry up to three. It could be one, could be two, could be three, but depending on what we see. And then we will give that to the vestry to make a decision on what they want to do going forward. What the vestry will do then is the vestry is in charge of actually hiring the firm and negotiating a fee to be paid. They will work with the firm to determine the process that will be used to gather input. And we'll make sure that the firm has all of the relevant documents, anything that might help them to create the best product that we can get from them. And then they will review the final report and determine what is the direction that is the best for us to move forward. This slide kind of shows the process yet again, but just in a different way. But basically, we're currently in the RFP process. We are hoping, our timeline is that we're hoping that by February we'll be able to give some names to the vestry, and then they will hire the firm and work out a contract and figure out exactly what the timeline is going to be. The firm will complete the report, and then the vestry will review the report to determine the direction. Once that direction is determined, then the second part of this whole process is to have a capital campaign, to do whatever is needed, and then a design process and a construction process. So there's not a definite timeline on this, but this is definitely something that's going to take multiple years, probably. So it's going to be a while before we're at a construction process, but each of these steps is important to getting to that final process. So that is the PowerPoint that I have, and I will stop sharing the screen. And I believe that Teresa is going to speak next. And Teresa's on mute still. You have to unmute. There you go.
Okay, but I lost my group. All right, sorry about that. So the facilities team, first of all, compiled a list of North Carolina-based architects who were trained, experienced, and qualified in designing and planning church facilities. Then we delved into websites looking for architects that we felt would consider the unique culture, vision, and style of Episcopal churches and facilities. The list of firms was narrowed as we focused on projects similar to St. Paul's that balance the practical needs of our facility in regards to functionality and accessibility with its form and aesthetic. In the next week or so, 10 firms will receive our request for proposal. These firms have demonstrated a commitment to the design and renovation of sensitive historic structures in compliance with the work of our predecessors, as well as the guidelines of historic preservation, while transforming and enriching the space to meet contemporary needs. It's all yours, Angie.
Thank you, Teresa. So I'm sure you guys have a lot of questions. One of the ways last week we did the blue hand raise through the participants. If you are comfortable doing that, or if you would like to just raise your hand, I will jot down and we'll get to your questions. You can also just type your name in the chat box, which is also at the bottom. If you click on the little link that says chat, or if you would prefer to ask your question that way, I will monitor that and then get the questions out to the whole group. We do have a lot of people on today, so I'll be flipping between two screens. So if I don't get to you right away, just be patient, or type your name again in the chat, and we will make sure everybody's concerns and questions are heard today. So we are opening it up to questions, thoughts, for anybody. And remember that you're muted, so if you do want to talk, just hit your little unmute button. No questions? Any comments or thoughts or?
Angela, this is Catherine.
Hi.
Hi. When we did a mini remodel in the kitchen some time ago, we ran into all sorts of roadblocks with the Wilmington Historical Commission. We couldn't redo the windows the way we wanted to, some other things. They just said, it's not part of your architectural history and you can't do it. Do we anticipate problems again in that area with this work?
I think one of the focuses that we really wanted to look at when we selected architects to send our RFP to was someone who had a lot of experience with historic sites, namely churches. So that should be, and I believe that is a a top priority for everything, because without that, we're kind of stuck. We need to do what they're letting us know that we need to do historically. Anybody else want to add to that?
One of the things that we looked at was architectural firms that already had experience working in historic districts. We didn't want to bring in a firm that had not done that before, had not interacted with historic preservation commissions. So it was one of the key things that we were looking at as we gathered the original list of firms.
I think I would add that when you are in a historic district, you are going to have certain things you're going to have to follow. So that will be something that they're going to be able to tell us. And it may be some things will be like, it might be frustrating because it might be, oh, we can't do what we think we want to do. But that professional firm is going to be able to tell us the things that would be allowed and wouldn't be allowed.
Catherine?
Yes.
Thank you. Kay has her hand up.
Yeah, Bob.
Bob has his hand up. Thank you. I'm wondering if there's been any guesstimate as to the cost of the architect's fees and the expense associated with the study, and if so, what source for those funds has been identified?
There is no estimate as yet as to what the fees would be, but there's already been conversations I have had with the senior warden about how the funds will be secured to pay for those studies. That was one of the first things. It's kind of like when you're asked to take on a budget or a project, I should say. The first question is, what do you want me to do? And the second question you ask is, and how much money do I have to spend? And we walked into this knowing that there's going to have to be monies up front that have to pay for that, Bob.
But in regards to that, that's why we went with the RFP instead of just securing a firm to come up with a proposal, because the RFP is free at this point, right, Mona?
Yeah, we'll gather information and they'll give us, and then we'll have that information to decide what if we want to do it, how we want to do it. So
it postpones the inevitable, but nonetheless.
Can I just pop in here for a second about the cost of an architectural plan? 3 years ago, St. Stephen's did a major renovation of its parish hall and added entrances, redid the kitchen. It was about $1.2 million project. But the architectural drawings themselves to prepare for the project at that time cost about $60,000. So I think we could be comfortable in a range of $40,000 to $75,000. That's just based on my experience, not on what it might be in this present day, but that's, I think, a good ballpark figure.
Angela, there are three raised hands in the participants window.
Okay. I'm guessing I cannot see that.
Yes, you can. Just click on the participants box and you'll see it.
Oh, sorry. So Keith has a question?
No, it's gone. What I wanted to say, except for one thing, has already been covered. The short answer to Catherine's question was absolutely going to expect problems with the Wilmington Hysterical Society. But the professionals that are being looked at by a very capable and hardworking team will lead us through that, so we won't have so much of a worry. And the main thing I wanted to say was how impressed I am, not surprised, but impressed I am at the entire team and what y'all have presented this morning and how hard you've worked, and I really appreciate it. That's all.
Thanks, Steve.
David?
Hello there. I would echo the senior warden's comments about the team's effort. Really impressive, and have a sense of what that entails. My parish in Pennsylvania that I moved from did about a $3.5 million capital campaign years ago, and it's it's arduous. The question I have is about church property, and I'm just curious, looking at all the options we have, and one of them just talks about relocation. My understanding is that basically the property we enjoy is actually owned by the diocese, and to relocate in an area where there are already 8 Episcopal parishes, is that actually realistic? And maybe Father Ray can comment on some of the church property ownership aspects of that question.
Sure, I'll be happy to address that.
If he can't, I can.
I'm here, Keith. If you
good,
yeah. Episcopal churches hold parish property in trust for the diocese. So the Diocese of East Carolina owns St. Paul's Church and the ground that St. Paul's Church stands on. So if we were to buy a property or sell a property, we would need the permission of the standing committee of the Diocese of East Carolina. And that's how it works across the board for every Episcopal church. So if the RFP determined that the cost to make the changes that we wanted to make to the parish house were just astronomical and not feasible, one of the things that the vestry would explore would be the possibility of relocating. In that event, the diocese would get involved in the sale or purchase of property.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Ray. Cleve and Jenny have their hand raised.
I had a question, and it's a follow-up question to the discussion of funding or the costs. This is, regardless of what we do, it's going to be a multi-million-dollar project, I think. And so I don't know right now we're struggling to increase the giving so that we support the budget to do the things that we want to do on an ongoing basis. I don't know what our capacity for a capital campaign is, a capital campaign of that size, a multi-million-dollar capital campaign. So I wonder, are there other complementary sources of funding, such as loans through the diocese or through the national church or through foundations that would, add to the amount of our capital campaign ability?
I'm going to jump in here again and say there are other sources available, but the majority of the funding would have to be raised by St. Paul's. We are not doing a capital campaign right now. I think people are a little confused with the strategic plan. The capital campaign is something that will be in the future after the RFP is done, after a proposal is done, after a plan has come up with, and then that plan will be the case study for a capital campaign.
Right.
And that case study will be presented to the parish and to major donors at that time. And then a decision will be made to have a capital campaign.
Right.
The financial funding for all this is going to be discussed in depth next week. Let me just point you toward that.
All right.
And we are going to address Jenny's question and some others that people might have about financials.
I just want to point out that Bob Balestegui has said in the recent past that there wasn't enough capital from the parish, from parishioners, to really pay for the kitchen renovation. And so a donor stepped in.
We'll talk about it next week.
All right.
Thank you for your question. It looks like Spencer, I'm sorry.
Unmute, Spencer.
Got it.
A couple of, thoughts. The one is that about the Historic Commission, and we really should call them the Historic, Commission.
Absolutely.
The as a general rule, if I'm not mistaken, and Marianne could probably correct me on this, we're in this so-called overlay district or overlay section of the historic district, and they have pretty much absolute control over the exterior appearance of the building. They have almost zero control about what we do inside the building. Okay, I thought that was correct. So at least theoretically, you could come in and gut that building down to the walls on the inside, and they have no say in what to do. Now, there's plenty of other codes that have plenty to say, but the Historic Commission, on the other hand, if you say, as Catherine pointed out, I want to change that window, which looks out onto the street, they can have total control to say, no, we're not going to let you do that. The other thing that, people have mentioned in the past, and I haven't heard it specifically mentioned this morning, that I don't know if it's a third option, but it's sort of maybe a sub look at, at one of the options of not relocating, but putting up a new structure in addition to the two structures that we already have, the third structure that would hold administrative space, meeting space, Sunday school space. It would obviously mean loss of space that we currently have, or that we're using in other ways, perhaps part of the parking lot, totally unused green postage stamp out on the north end of the, of the property. So there are other options necessarily from, not just the two, let's see what we can, if we can try to somehow or other bring this very unusually laid out parish house, into compliance with the 21st century. Or let's just, throw our hands up and say, we're moving somewhere else. So,
Spencer, I would say that when we, in the RFP, we have indicated, we kind of give a background, and we have indicated that there is other space. So I think that would be something that we would want the professionals, to consider. We've kind of given them, here's what exists and what can be done. So I think that would be included in probably the conversations.
The last blue hand that I have raised is for Sally.
I was going to make the statement that Spencer did about the historical committee on basically concerned with the outside, that it doesn't change. And the other thing was I know the church in Goldsboro was in historical district. Was that right, Ray?
He's not here.
That is correct. Yes.
Yeah.
It was.
Just those two thoughts.
Thank you.
Marianne had her hand raised.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Kay and Howard.
Bob,
it's on the corner of your hand.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to share a screen here.
Okay. Sharing is good.
Not to get into the minutia, but the Andrew Consultants study was referenced in earlier conversation. And as I recall, the price that they put on improvements that were related to those pictures, they were total about $350,000. I'm wondering if any of those have been made. Some of them were urgent repairs that were required. Others had a longer time frame for their completion. How has that been addressed, please?
Let me answer that one.
Yeah.
The southwest corner of the narthex was identified in that report because the foundation or the structure was sinking. And last December, we put 2,000 pounds of a high-density poly resin into the substructure of that corner of the building to contain the sinking. Rather than return it to its original position, we opted to go with stopping the sinking because the fear was that if we returned the structure back to its original position, we could possibly damage the west wall of the nave and incur more damage to the south wall of the narthex. But that was done at a cost of about $27,000. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. They had talked about fixing shingles in the roof and the gutter system. And actually that was in process when they prepared the report, because we got the roof fixed and the gutters fixed just before the hurricane. So some things had been done.
Mm-hmm. And there is a section in the RFP that is written up that addresses the things that we have completed from that Andrews report. Let's see. Am I missing anybody?
David Tusagent wants to speak.
Okay, David, sorry.
Hi there. Just as a historical reflection, when I took over as junior warden back in 2011. Clearly the position of the parish was to react to necessary repairs. What I tried to implement, and we've done fairly well, is try to be a more preventative aspect to what is going on with the structure, the infrastructure of our complex. The issues have been, of course, is that we've been thrown a few grenades with hurricanes and all sorts of other aspects of the environmental issues. So as Steve just pointed out, the repair of the narthex was really a reflection, a reaction to what was continuing deterioration. We had to replace the steeple. I'm sure, Steve, you probably remember that. That cost better than I do. But a lot of things happened in this big old complex, and it's tough to get ahead from, as Bob Swindell points out, because of monetary restrictions on what we have available. So I think we're headed in the right direction here, trying to take control and look at probably the necessary means of developing the funding to take care of these issues as a capital campaign.
Thank you, David. I'm kind of scanning for hands. Or comments, additional questions, Cleve?
I think they touched on this. The committee touched on this in their report to us today. Hear about this, but one idea I didn't hear much discussion of was replacing the existing parish building with a new structure. You know, there are many ways to approach this, even raising the elevation of that up somewhat to allow for parking underneath. We all know that we have serious problems with things like lack of access for people in wheelchairs or otherwise compromised mobility, and we have serious problems with emergency evacuations and things like that. There are rooms that have only one entranceway and exitway, and if there were to be a fire, that, you know, the consequences are dreadful. So I think it behooves us in this to really think, not in terms of we've got to do something about this building. Maybe we don't have to do something about this building or do something with that building. Leave the church alone, of course, but not that building. So I just want to make sure that that is kind of on the record there, that that's something that might be looked at.
And I think, one of the things that is definitely something we have talked about, and, you know, with the us of the group, we're letting the professionals kind of guide us toward that, Ray.
No, I just wanted to tack on to what Cleve was saying and to remind us all of what the mission of the church is. The mission of the church is to draw each other into unity with Christ. And our mission is to grow the church. And our facility does not help us grow the church.
Exactly.
It hinders people from coming to church. If you have some sort of physical disability, well, you can't get into the parish hall. The stair chair that goes from the up the steps toward the parish hall is a joke. Mm-hmm. If you have someone who is in a wheelchair, you'd have to pick them up, put them in that wheelchair, get the wheelchair up those stairs, and get them into the parish hall. Now, I know I have had parishioners with their own electric wheelchairs that weigh hundreds of pounds. It would be impossible to pick a person up out of that wheelchair, put them in that dilapidated chair, if it even works, and get them up the stairs. Carry that their wheelchair up the stairs, pick that person up out of the stairs, out of the chair, and put them in the wheelchair. That will just not work. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable that we have rooms where there is only one entrance and where there could be a fire and someone could be killed. It's about welcoming people and keeping them safe. How we do that is, you know, what we're trying to discover. What is the best way to do that? Does it mean tearing out the inside of the parish hall and rebuilding it? Does it mean, you know, what is the best way to do that? But I think we are obligated to address these issues because that's how we welcome people. We want to provide a safe, welcoming environment for people. That's what the church is about. Everyone is welcome. If you have some sort of disability, we need to be able to accommodate you. You know, we have an aging congregation. Are we going to say, well, you know, too bad we can't, if you're in a wheelchair, too bad you can't come. I mean, I really want to be quite frank and strong that something needs to happen. We need to do this. We can't just skirt around it and say, oh, well, you know, we could do maybe this and put scotch tape here and get by. Well, you can't. Okay? That's the simple truth. You can't. If you want, you are a growing church. You're pre-COVID. You are filled on Sunday mornings. You want to keep that going, then you gotta do the things that need to be done. You have everything you need. God has given you everything you need to do these things. He's given you everything you need to do this. What you need now is to not be fearful, to not be anxious, to just say, God is calling us to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to find a way to do this, because God wants us to do this. It's very simple. And if you decide, well, no, I'm not going to do that, then don't depend on a packed church every Sunday. Amen. Ask me whatever you want.
Amen.
I agree.
Yes. Thank you, Ray. Mm-hmm. Well said.
Anyone else?
I'd just like to compliment the various committees because you have really taken the strategic plan and bitten right into it, so to speak, and I just really compliment you the way you're progressing forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Ann. Okay. We have just a few minutes left. My clock says 10, so about 15 extra minutes. If you guys, if you're okay. Oh, wait. I see a hand.
Hello? Yeah. Last minute hand.
Yes.
We have a great turnout today. A lot of people are on this, but we're not even the majority of the church. So my question is, how do we get this message out to everyone else? Because they need to hear it. This is really important and good information, and they're not hearing it. And I know we talk communication all the time, and people have to be willing to do something about it. I don't know how you force it down their throats, but they need to hear this, and I'm not sure, sort of obtying them, how we do that.
Well, one thing, Catherine, this is Julie, is I am recording this, and Mona, if you could send me a copy of the presentation, I'll put that on the website. I know that's not ideal, but it will be available for people to hear again and see the presentation. And I'm taking notes from all the questions, and we've got frequently asked questions posted on the website from every one of these sessions, a recording from every one of these sessions, and the presentations. So you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So that's what I'm doing. I don't know what else we can do, but for right now, we're holding these sessions and we're having the recordings available. So if you have other ideas, please share them.
Thank you for doing that.
Yes, thank you.
Jenny?
I was just thinking that a word from the pulpit or the space between the pulpit and the lectern is always worth a lot. So maybe, Ray, now that you no longer have to flog the yard sale, thank you very much, you could urge people to do what Julie, take advantage of what Julie is doing and to go to the website and listen, watch whatever the presentation. Yeah.
We have a page on the website called Strategic Plan. It has all this information on it, and it's under the About Us tab.
I would like to say I think that the final plan should include money for professionally produced marketing services. One of the issues here, although we do have a lot of talent in the church, and perhaps we can call on those people, but in some respects, we need people who are outside our orbit and outside our circle to really think about this from the ground up and think
Absolutely.
About it fresh.
Absolutely.
Let me just say one thing. The other thing, which is available to all of us, and I said this last week, is to call people, call five people this week and tell them what you're enjoying about these sessions, telling them why you're attending, and encourage them to participate. I did that this week, and I see a few people here on the call that I spoke to personally. So thank you for that. But apart from all the other options, a phone call seems to be a good resource.
Joan, did you have your hand up before?
I was actually going to say exactly what Adam just did. So.
Thank you.
Personally reach out to some other parishioners and, just invite them to come along and tune in.
Emails work too. Thanks, Parish Life team.
I think we're at
5 minutes.
Okay.
Ray. Ray, were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
Yes, I was just going to say that communication is the key. And I love the idea of you all calling other people, and that's what we need to do. We also can provide time in church for discussion and presentation of these things. There also has been talk of adding a forum like this maybe on a Wednesday night or at some other time. What we need to know is how we can reach the most people. And so we need your input as to, you know, tell us, how can we reach the most people? What will your fellow parishioners tune into or be a part of? What is attractive to them to get get information? And we'll do it. Provide those forums.
Thank you. Sorry, just stopping some notes. All right, if we're ready, if everyone's done, I'd like to just lead us in a closing prayer to take forward for this day and this week. Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to thee, so guide our minds, so fill our imaginations, so control our wills, that we may be wholly thine, utterly dedicated unto thee, and then use us, we pray thee, as thou wilt, and always to thy glory and the welfare of thy people, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.